appeal for early believers. This is the argument by which Abu Bakr, the first believer, was consciously and unconsciously converted. This is the argument which has ever brought about the conversion of honest seekers after truth. It is well known that when the Holy Prophet, on whom be peace and the blessings of God, made known his claim, Abu Bakr, his bosom friend, was at a friend's house. A woman servant of his happened to see him there and told him about it. The wife of your friend Muhammad tells her friends that her husband has become a prophet just like Moses. Abu Bakr said not a word, but rising at once, he made for the Holy Prophet's house. He asked if it was true that he had claimed to be a prophet. The Holy Prophet said yes, and Abu Bakr believed. The Holy Prophet said, "I never invited anyone to Islam without his hesitating or stopping to think about it, but when I mentioned it to Abu Bakr, he did not hesitate for a moment and believed at once." Abu Bakr did not ask for signs or evidence. He found himself constrained to believe as soon as he heard the Holy Prophet's claim. How was Abu Bakr persuaded? He was persuaded by the eloquence of the Holy Prophet's character. A man's character is his evidence. Khadija, the Holy Prophet's wife, Ali, his young cousin, Zaid bin Harith, his freed slave, believed in the same way and by the same argument. Khadija has narrated the story of her conversion. When the Holy Prophet, on whom be peace, saw Gabriel in the cave Hira and received through him the first divine revelation commanding him to proclaim his prophethood, he came home to tell Khadija about it. "I am afraid for myself," he said. Khadija, in reply, comforted the Holy Prophet. "No, no," she said. "Allah will not disgrace you. You are kind to your relations. You help the helpless. You have the virtues we had forgotten. You entertain your guests and help those in trouble." The first proof of the authenticity of a claimant to spiritual office is his own self or character. This self is as eloquent as anything which can be seen or heard. As proof, it is self-sufficient. It needs no further support, no miracles or signs. This proof is today provided by God to establish the authenticity of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. Hazrat Mirza Sahib lived at Qadian, the population of which consists of Hindus, Sikhs and Muslims. He grew up, therefore, under the eyes of three of India's most important religious communities. His family's relations with these communities were not as happy as they might have been. The British had taken possession of the Punjab when Hazrat Mirza Sahib was a child. Until then, the inhabitants of Qadian and its environs had lived as tenants and serfs of his family. With the coming of the British, a great change had taken place. The old inhabitants of Qadian were determined to make the most of this change. They had started working for their release from old contracts and commitments. The result was that almost the whole village had entered into litigation with the father of Hazrat Mirza Sahib. Under his father's orders, he had to take part in the resulting court proceedings. Left to himself, he would have led a life of study and seclusion, but his situation, for some time at least, demanded that he should confront people from his own village and appear in court as one against many. The Sikh inhabitants of the village were especially hostile to his family. This was because some time before, the Sikhs had driven Mirza Sahib's family out of the place and had taken possession of their lands. the returning prosperity of the family of Hazrat Mirza Sahib was not welcome to the Sikhs. They were rivals of his family. From early life, Hazrat Mirza Sahib had been deeply interested in the study and service of Islam. Often he met Christians, Hindus and Sikhs in public debate and spoke and wrote against them. This made all religious communities interested in him. Hazrat Mirza Sahib was well known to the leaders of all religious communities. He lived and moved among his rivals. But all of them, Hindu, Sikh, Christian, Muslim, agreed that Mirza Sahib had always led a blameless life, had shown the utmost kindness and consideration to others, and had been consistently truthful and honest in all his dealings. He was universally trusted. In disputes with his family, the litigants often offered to accept arbitration by Hazrat Mirza Sahib. In short, those who knew him as a most honorable and trustworthy person, one who would never compromise with truth and justice. Christians, Hindus and Sikhs, though strongly disagreeing with him on religious matters, testified to the purity of his personal life and character.